This reading is a little bit unusual, as the ending will surprise you. This is a reading from Jeremiah 22, 1-5, 11-17, page 723 of the Old Testament. Thus says the Lord, go down to the house of the king of Judah and speak there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, O king of Judah, sitting on the throne of David, you and your servants and your people who enter these gates. Thus says the Lord, act with justice and righteousness and deliver from the hand of the oppressor anyone who has been robbed. And do no wrong or violence to the alien, the orphan, and the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place. For if you will obey this word, then through the gates of this house shall enter kings who sit on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their servants and their people. But if you will not heed these words, I swear by myself, says the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation. For thus says the Lord, concerning Shalom, son of King Josiah of Judah, who succeeded his father, Josiah, and who went away from this place, he shall return here no more. But in the place where they have carried him captive, he shall die, and he shall never see this land again. Woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness, and his upper room by injustice, who makes his neighbors work for nothing and does not give them their wages, who says, I will build myself a spacious house with large upper rooms, and who cuts out windows for it, paneling it with cedar and painting it with vermilion. Are you a king because you compete in cedar? Did not your father eat and drink and do justice and righteousness? Then it was well with him. He judged the poor, the cause of the poor and the needy. Then it was well. Is this to know me, says the Lord? But your eyes and heart are only on dishonest gain, for shedding innocent blood and practicing for oppression and violence. Thus ends today's reading.
Have you heard the news? Have you heard the marches and the streets? There is a noticeable change to the world around us. And what are we to do in response? These are questions I could ask you today, and sometimes I do just that when we light the peace candle. But these are also the questions that God sent Jeremiah to ask the leaders of his time. We're taking a break from Ecclesiastes today, you may have noticed. And so, if it's been a while since you looked at the prophetic literature, there's a few things you want to know. The prophetic books in the Bible are not to be confused with what is often called the prophecy of fortune telling. The prophetic literature itself condemns future telling. We're not about telling the future here. The role of the prophet was to deliver a message on behalf of God. Also, the prophetic literature in the Bible is a direct commentary on God's people's progress in building a nation state. It was the prophet's role to proclaim how the community was living up to its covenant with God. The messages the prophets delivered were relational, each message designed for the community God sent the prophet to. Jeremiah is an interesting figure because he lived in very interesting times. Jeremiah wasn't yet an adult when God called him to be a prophet. And like any adolescent, Jeremiah resisted. But as these things go with God, it was futile. The result is that Jeremiah had a very long prophetic career. He experienced directly a lot of the history of his people. His prophecy dates from 627 before the Common Era to 586 before the Common Era. The dates may not be that important unless you know ancient history. What is important is that this time would change the people forever. Jeremiah was a prophet who was sent to speak not so much to the people as to the king and the king's court. His role was not always a pleasant one. There were times he had to eat dung, times he wore a wooden yoke around his neck, and times he was imprisoned by the king. Speaking power is not always done without consequences. The prophets teach us this. Jeremiah was sent to deliver God's message of righteousness to the southern kingdom of Judah. He was sent there about 100 years after the northern kingdom of Israel had so violated its covenant with God and refused to listen to its prophets that the ancient kingdom of Israel was carried off into exile in Assyria. Given this history, one would think Jeremiah's words would be heeded. The text we heard this morning is Jeremiah's oracle delivered to the king. Some say it might have actually been delivered at a time in which the kingdom was celebrating the king's heir. Consider this an oracle given at a time of transition of global powers. And the oracle gives us some insight into the message Jeremiah brought from God. The prophet says, "Act with justice and righteousness. Deliver from the hand of the oppressor anyone who has been robbed. And do no wrong or violence to the alien, the orphan, or the widow, nor shed innocent blood in this place." It seems straightforward. Don't let people steal. Don't take advantage of people who can't fend for themselves. And don't kill innocent people. The problem is, this was no more straightforward in Jeremiah's day than it is in ours. I don't think I need to draw attention to how we are treating immigrants or poor people today. Jeremiah, however, as a prophet to the court, was able to apply some pressure to the leaders of his day. He told the king that if he did not govern with justice, then God would see the nation crushed. You see, the role of a prophet is sometimes to warn about the coming woes when society breaks its covenant with God. Some have accused Jeremiah of being against the ruling monarchy, but on the contrary, this oracle is telling the king what needs to be done to preserve the monarchy. Jeremiah knew he lived in a society that was not just. He addressed those in power in the hopes of reestablishing justice and God's covenant with the people. The prophet warned that those in power, that if they did what was unjust, if they did not pay their neighbor a living wage, if they made fancy palaces while ignoring the poor, then the whole kingdom was at risk of crashing down. Because for the prophet, the only kingdom that is too big to fail is God's kingdom. And the rest of them will not stand, be it Jeremiah's time or our own. So what about today? We too are people in covenant with God. It's the same covenant that started with tablets coming down a mountain. It's the same covenant that was added to as the people settled into the land. It's the same covenant that led Jesus to preach care for the poor and naked, the hungry and sick. Our vision of a more just world is our vision of living in covenant with God. Our continuing covenant with God is about our moral decision making, not only in church, but in the city, in the nation, and in the world. Jeremiah is long gone. However, if you look at the slide for today's sermon, it tells a story. People of faith continue to speak to human power structures about our moral duty to maintain covenant with God. In this photo, you see Reverend William Barber II, and next to him, Reverend Liz, whose name I cannot pronounce. They are leaders in what is known as the Poor People's Campaign. And the Poor People's Campaign is based on the work of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. It's been revived for our time, and it's drawing attention to issues of injustice that are happening today. The Poor People's Campaign started by doing a thorough social analysis of the issues of poverty in America today. They call it an audit, and it's lengthy, and you can read it on their website. It's called The Souls of Poor People. The Poor People's Campaign is coming from a place of faith to organize for change. It's not a political movement. It's a moral movement. It's not about right and left, but right and wrong. And Reverend Barber says that over and over and over. I can't claim that line. But fundamentally, the Poor People's Campaign is about our covenant with God. So I want to share with you today some of the issues the Poor People Campaign has been speaking out about, because I think in these issues, we hear the echoes of the prophets. But more specifically, we hear the echoes of Jeremiah's oracle. The Poor People's Campaign has been speaking out about systemic racism and the erosion of voting rights around the country. They've been speaking out about immigration and Islamophobia, the mistreatment of indigenous communities. They've been speaking out about poverty and economic inequality. And did we really know that there are 140 million poor and low-income people here in the United States? The Poor People's Campaign has raised the issue of poverty and women and children and people with disabilities who live in poverty. They've been speaking up on issues of ecological devastation. They've been speaking out on militarism and a federal budget in which 53 cents of every federal dollar goes to the military. They've been speaking out about healthcare equality and protecting coverage for people with pre-existing conditions. They've been speaking out about living wages and affordable housing. And they are seeking to change the moral narrative that we have in our nation. In his day, Jeremiah issued a warning. Do not oppress the alien or the orphan or the widow. But the king did not listen. And the king was carried away to Babylon, where he died. And the king's son became king, and the king's son did not listen, and was also carried away into Babylon, where he died. The prophet Jeremiah himself went to Egypt and is believed to have died in exile there. That is how their story ended. We don't know, of course, how our story will end. That depends on us. It depends on how we discern our covenant with God and how we live into it. But no matter what we decide, no matter what we do or the rulers of our world do, we cannot say we have not been warned.